Those are 9 words from heaven. He says, as he is, as Jesus is right now, John said, so are we, the church, right now, right this very minute, in the world.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
Well, we want to welcome you to the midweek broadcast of Love Never Fails. Pastor Bill continues his series in 1 John today with the message, Boldness in the Day of Judgment. Let's join the study.
Amen. You know, this morning we are in an area of 1 John. Matter of fact, we're going to be finishing not quite with love. We finished with the first 3 verses, I think, in chapter 5. Then we move into faith. And, of course, we're nearly finished with this incredible epistle. But what I want you to see this morning is, you know, John is mystical, if you will. Amen? I mean, the way that he pens, and of course, he's old now. He's the last living apostle, if you will, on the planet at that time. All the rest have been martyred. And he's also called the apostle of love. And so as we go through our text this morning, I pray that somehow the Spirit of God touches each of you, because I'm going to share primarily 9 words from heaven. And that's really what I want to talk to you about, or I feel what the Holy Spirit would have me talk about this morning, even though we're going to cover our whole text. I pray that those 9 words from heaven explode in your heart. If they do, you know what's going to happen? If we allow these words, those 9 words from heaven, if we will, number one, believe them, number two, if we will act upon them, you know what's going to happen to us? Revolution will come to our heart. You know, the word revolution means revolve around, and we revolve around the head of the church. Amen? That's what I mean by revolution, not we're going to go get guns and shoot people. Amen? No, not that at all. So this morning, if we will do this and believe 9 words from heaven, then it will ignite a fire in this church. If we will just take God's truth, no matter how over the top it may sound, and let it embrace our hearts. So this morning, remember, the theme of 1 John is located in chapter 5, verse 20. We'll be there probably in a couple of weeks and finish up this great epistle. And let me read it to you. And we know the Son of God has come and given us an understanding that we may know him who is true, or know him who is real, the real thing. And we are in him, praise the Lord, who is real, in his Son, Christ Jesus. This is the real God and eternal life. So this morning, we're going to look at real boldness, okay? Matter of fact, boldness in the day of judgment. Now, that is a concept, isn't it? Think about it. Boldness in the day of judgment. Let's find out what that means, beginning in verse 17 this morning. John writes to us, and he says, love has been perfected among us in this. Now, that word perfected is a very important word. It means reached maturity, or it's complete, but also it's a past fact and a present reality for every Christian, okay? So love has been perfected among us, among the church, the community, then and now, in this. What love is he talking about? He's talking about the love of God, amen? Agape. Agape is God's love, the unconditional love of God. Now, we know from chapter 4, verse 8, that God is love. But in our text right here in verse 17, this is not talking about God's love for us, which he does love us. It's not talking about our love for God in verse 17, even though we love the Lord. It's talking about what happened to every Christian the moment that they said, Jesus, will you be the Lord of my life? The moment you were saved, wherever it happened, wherever it was, and the moment it happened, not only were you filled with the Spirit, sealed with the Spirit, became a brand new creation in Christ, but God did something to you. This love, this perfected love, it says God put into your heart. Now, what does that mean? Perfected love means the fullness of love. Listen, God's love is full. Amen? Can you measure God's love? No. When you were born again, Romans 5:5, it says, and this hope does not disappoint, for the love of God, the supernatural love of God, has been poured out into your hearts by the Holy Spirit, which has been given unto you. Now listen, you have right now, from the moment of the new birth until this moment, you have living in you right now, whether you believe it or not, if you're a believer, you have God's supernatural agape living in your heart. It's just not part of His love. It is the fullness, the perfected fullness of His love right now. That's why He says, this love has been perfected among us in this. In what? Look back at verse 16. It says, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And here it comes. And He, that's us, He who abides, that word means lives. He who lives in love. What a word is that? He who lives in agape, it says lives in God because God is love. Amen? Okay, and look at the rest. And God lives in Him. Now listen, Christians are a people that live their life in God's love because they live in God. Amen? Now, if that love is not manifest, I say this tenderly, maybe, just maybe, God is not in them. Amen? Amen? All right. Now, when you think about the fullness of love or what perfect love is, you know, we all have studied out at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I mean, that is the hymn of love. And if you read all of that, you'll realize that each one of them actually is Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? And Jesus is love. Now, but when you think about perfect love and all of that, remember what it said, down in 1 Corinthians 13, what is it, verse 6? It says that love rejoices in truth. That's what perfect love does. When you hear the truth, you should be, praise the Lord. Amen? And it goes on, and it says in verse 7, it says, love does something else. Love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Love endures all things. And then, of course, the foundational verse of this church in verse 8, love never fails. Amen? Now, that's the love that we're talking about right now. Can any Christian, have you ever met any Christian that says to you, you know what, when I love perfectly. Now, they may say that, but they don't, okay? I don't love perfectly, you don't love perfectly, but the perfect love is in us, amen? Amen. And listen, there's only one way for that perfect love to manifest itself, and that is by you to say, you know what? I have perfect love living in me. However, the way that it's going to happen and manifest is that I'm going to continue to grow. I'm going to continue to mature in God's love. In other words, if you were born again, say a year ago, now the moment you were, God's love was put into your heart by the Holy Spirit, which has been given unto you. Now, don't you think that you should love more now than you did a year ago? Okay, now let's say you're 10 or 15 years old in the Lord. Don't you think you should love more now than you did 15 years ago? Love God more? Love each other more? Yes. Okay. That's what you call a growing love. Now, if your love is not growing, loved one, listen to me. There's going to be a problem. Look at verse 17 again. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have what? Boldness in the day of judgment. So love, the love that God has placed in us, it finds its fullness, it finds its completion, it says there, in this particular day. In other words, that we may have perfected love, okay? Boldness. That word means a complete, full, fearless, holy confidence. Hello? But look when it says when. In the day of judgment. Doesn't that seem strange? Because if you're like me, you probably go, you think about when you're going to stand before the Lord, and do you go, man, I'm going to be bold as a lion. I mean, is that what you think that? Think about it for a moment. I mean, here we are. It's over. We're going to stand before the Lord on judgment day, okay? Think about it. And you're going to just, I'm bold, man. But the scripture says, look at it. It's not a carnal boldness. It's a holy boldness. Amen? And it comes from that perfected love. Now, that in that day of judgment, dear Lord. So what is the day of judgment? You know, there's some religions, mainstream religions, that teach that, well, there's only one general mass judgment of all mankind. Well, that's unfortunately, I believe they're interpreting scripture wrong, okay? Because there's more than just one judgment, or I should say, there are different kinds of judgment in the Bible, amen, in the last day. So let me ask you a question about this boldness. You know, the Bible teaches us in Matthew 25, there's going to be what I call the sheep and goat judgment, okay? Or other people may call it the judgment of the nations. And now that happens at the second coming of Christ, and we come back with the Lord, the church, at the second coming of Christ. Amen? Okay, so the sheep and goat judgment has nothing to do with us, we the Christian, okay? So they're going to be judged about how they treated Israel. So if you're a goat, it's not going to be a good deal, okay? But if you're a sheep, you know, the ones that really, you know, visited, like the Lord said, you visited me in prison when I was hungry, you fed me, and so forth. Now, do you think they're going to have boldness at that judgment? Well, how about this one? This is a great judgment here. As a matter of fact, it's called so great, it's called the Great White Throne Judgment. And you know who that is. That's the lost on that day when they're pulled up from Hades and death and all the rest of it. And they stand before the Lord at the Great White Throne. And the books are opened and their works, the account of their lives is read before them. And they don't say a word, do they? No, because that's for unbelievers. Amen? Do you think they're going to have boldness in that day? No, loved one, they're not. Listen, we are living in a world that's very, very bold and very, very arrogant. I'm going to tell you something. If you know the Word of God, you know that one day the wrath of God is going to be poured out upon this planet, isn't it? The wrath of God. Do you think the world is going to be bold in that day? May I read to you how bold they're going to be? Let me read it to you. Revelation 6:15 says, listen to all the different kinds of people now, or their positions in earth. And the kings of the earth, the great men, rich men, commanders, mighty men, every slave, every free man, hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains. And they said to the mountains and the rocks, I'm a bold person, leave me alone. No, that's the NIV version, okay? No, he said, and said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? Loved one, no one is going to stand in that day, amen? No, oh, listen, what a day that's going to be. Now, do you believe that when it says the day of judgment, that we're going to have boldness in the day of judgment? I mean, the great white throne judgment and all the rest, that's the kind of judgment we're going to face? No. Loved one, our judgment happened 2,000 years ago on the cross. Jesus paid for our sins, amen? So our judgment was past, okay, not future, but there is a future judgment that we're all going to face. But let me prove to you that we're not going to go through like the punishment of the great white throne and all of that. Remember what Jesus said in John 5:24? He says, most assuredly, now I use that, I believe, on Resurrection Sunday. Remember that word means amen and amen, which means what I'm about to tell you is certain, infallible, immutable, unchangeable truth. Amen? So Jesus says, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word, believes in him who sent me, has everlasting life. The moment you believe in Christ, you have everlasting life. Amen? And he says, and shall not come into the judgment. You're not going to come into the judgment of this world, loved one, and has passed from or out of death into life. One day, all of us, We're going to stand face to face with the one who loves us, the one who is coming for us, and the one who paid the penalty of our sins. Amen? We're going to stand before him, and we're going to give an account. So this day of judgment that John is talking about is the judgment seat of Christ, or we call it the Bema seat of Christ, okay? Let me give you a few of the scriptures. In 2 Corinthians 5:10, it says this, "For we must all appear," there's no exceptions, every believer, "we must all appear before the judgment seat or the Bema seat of Christ." The Bema seat of Christ is the place where we are rewarded, amen? Think about that, for how we lived on this planet, what we did for the Lord. So it says, "Before the judgment seat of Christ," here it comes, "that each one may receive the things done in the body," meaning what you did for the Lord on this planet while you were here. "Now, according to what he has done, whether it's good or whether it's bad." Now, only believers will be at the Bema seat of Christ. We're going to give an account of our stewardship, of our gifts, of the things, everything that God has called us to do. We're going to give an account to him. But we're never going to be judged for our sins there. Our sins have already been judged. Amen? John 1:29, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Romans 8:1, "Now therefore there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus," meaning there's no judgment. Jesus, 1 John 3:5, has he taken away our sins? Yes, they're gone. He has paid that debt, loved one. He's done everything possible now to obtain perfect redemption for everyone who believes in him. So we're not being judged for our sins. We are being judged, however, for our works. Now, that doesn't determine our destiny. In other words, heaven or hell. Heaven is already our home. Amen? We're already citizens of heaven. Now, so the judgment is our works. We're not saved by works, but we will certainly be judged by them. Now, however that happens, the Bible says that our works are going to be tested. They're going to be tested by fire, okay? And the Bible is very clear that some believers, they're going to suffer loss. Some of them will not have boldness in that day of judgment. I want to have boldness in the day of judgment, don't you? Amen. Let me give you the scripture that goes along with that. 1 Corinthians 3:13, where Paul says, "Each one's work, every believer's work, will become clear, for the day," meaning the Bema seat of Christ, "the day will declare it. Now, if anyone's work, which he has built on, endures, he will receive a reward." Did you know that the reward is God's idea, not ours? Amen? And we don't know what the reward is. I mean, we say, well, Bill, the award is eternal life. No, we already have eternal life. Well, it's going to be heaven. No, we are already citizens of heaven. Amen? But I don't know what it is, but it's going to be good. Amen? And you remember what Jesus said over in the book of Revelation? "Behold, I'm coming quickly. My reward is with me to give unto you." It's going to be something. For serving the Lord, he says, "Do you know what? I'm going to reward you because I love you because you've been serving me." He says, "If anyone's work now is burned," that means it wasn't any good. It says, "he will suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved as though through the fire." What does that mean? It means our works that were not pleasing unto God, that weren't done, the motivation was wrong or the motive or whatever. He said, "No, that didn't cut it." You know, you can only build on one foundation. Amen? Now, but we'll be saved as though through the fire, just like Lot. Lot, I mean, who lived in Sodom, did everything get wiped out? But did God save Lot? Absolutely. And so he will save us. The thing is that, you know, if we're going to finish our life, you know, I say, Lord, I just want to serve you all the days of my life. Yeah, I have a secular job, but that secular job supports my priesthood, serving you. Amen? And so, you know, when you think about finishing your race, listen to what Paul the Apostle said. He's in the Mamertine prison. He's writing to Timothy, and he has really, when he wrote that, just a week or two to live, his last letter. And here's what he says. In 2 Timothy 4:6, Paul says, "Timothy, I am already being poured out as a drink offering," meaning I've served the Lord, and now my life is being poured out. "And the time of my departure is at hand." Now, Nero is going to remove his head, amen? But he didn't say, "Listen, I'm getting ready to die." I love what Paul said. "The time of my departure is at hand. I'm going home, Timothy. I'm going home to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen to what he says. I have fought the good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, meaning the judgment seat of Christ. And not to me only, but to all who love his appearing. Now, how in the world is it possible for us to truly have boldness on that day when we stand before the Lord? Look at verse 17 again. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? Ready? Because as he is, so are we in this world. I'm going to ask you a question. Did you hear what John just said? Those are 9 words from heaven. He says, as he is, as Jesus is right now, John said, so are we, the church, right now. Think about that. Right this very minute in the world. Now listen, what in the world does that mean? I mean, as he is, so are we in this world. What does that really, really mean? And I pray that we open our hearts now. It means this. It means that your position, your standing right this very moment in this world before God the Father is the same as Jesus Christ's glorified state in heaven this very moment. What are we going to do with that? I mean, how do we wrap our hearts and our minds around something that is so over the top? Amen? Just as he is right now, in heaven, seated at the right hand of God. God says, oh, yeah. And you know what? Your position is just like him. And I go, dear Lord, you know what that means? It means that right this very moment that God the Father, who loves Jesus the Son, loves you exactly the same way. Exactly. Not well, I love Bill a little bit. No, but you know, he loves you. Why? Ephesians 1:6. You have been accepted in the beloved. Amen? And the beloved is Jesus Christ. God says, I've accepted you. I have adopted you. You belong to me. You are my child. I am your father. And I purchased you with the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? And I say, oh, Lord, you are so good. But more than that, our position as he is right now, so are we right now in the world, right this moment, all of us, with all of our imperfections and all of our flaws. That is our spiritual position, amen? That is our position, amen? Man, listen, that turns me on. I'm sorry. No, I mean, I say, oh, God, you're so good. What does that mean? It means that right this moment, we stand in our Father's eyes in heaven. We stand in the perfect righteousness of Christ. It's not our righteousness. It's his righteousness. Amen? And he has done something. The moment we believe, did he impute Jesus' perfect sinless record to our account? That's called the doctrine of justification. In other words, it's just now, since we are in Christ, it means as if we had never sinned because Jesus never sinned. Does that make sense? Do you understand what when God sees you? Now, that's our position. I know our practice, it's not. But thank God we can go to the Lord. And if we do sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins when we confess them. Amen? But our position is not changeable. As far as God is concerned right now, he treats you as he is, so are we in this world. As Jesus is right now, so are we right now in this world. As far as God the Father is concerned, he treats you as if you had been perfectly obedient as his son. Did Jesus do all things that pleased the Father? Yes. Did Jesus ever sin? No. Did Jesus keep the law perfectly? He did everything that we can never do. He did it for us, but now we're not outside of Christ. We are in Christ. And when God sees us, he sees us perfect in his Son. That's called the doctrine of justification. Sanctification is a process. That's where we are being conformed into Christ's likeness by the Holy Spirit going from glory to glory in our life. Now, this boldness that we have, we have it right now, but I don't think we concentrate about it. We don't ponder, we don't meditate upon it. We have boldness. Every Christian has boldness right now. And God says, I've given it to you, and I want you to do something with it.
Unfortunately, we're out of time, but Pastor Bill will conclude this message on tomorrow's program. And we look forward to seeing you once again. We really appreciate you listening today. Until next time, may the Lord bless you. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.